sometimes I feel that just like the color of my skin, like people like question my intention or question like if I have a good heart, and I feel I do have really good heart. And so like when I'm a teammate, I can actually show people like selflessness. And like, I think like through sports, you can really learn like a lot of human skills. So it's like the Olympics and all that stuff is really important to me, because like I really think that sports help break down barriers.
Hey listeners, Denise here, and in this episode we have our second hydro athlete, Michelle Sosa. She talks about her complex background, growing up in the Midwest, and we hear a lot about the Midwest culture through Michelle, through her strength, compassion, and vulnerability, and aiming to break barriers through our sport of rowing. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Rowing in Color podcast. Today we have Michelle Sosa. Michelle, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Denise? I'm so excited to finally be here talking with you.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you on the podcast. Can you tell our listeners, how are you doing during this time with, you know, the coronavirus, Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter movement, police brutality, protests, just minor events going on? How are you doing during this time?
It is kind of the day in the life of, you know, a modern day person of color. I feel it's ups and downs, but I also feel that my perspective is actually being heard and seen, and that's a new feeling. So even though sometimes that some days are hard, or especially just seeing like a lot of really sad images, I do feel uplifted, and I feel different in the day-to-day life. I feel more valued, which is a positive.
Yeah, I think we need as many positives as we can, because we have so much year left to go. It has been an interesting 2020 so far.
Yeah.
Do you have a message for the rowing community at this time, given all that is going on, your involvement with Hydro, which we'll talk mm-hmm. about later, and your position mm-hmm. as a person of color? Do you have a message for the rowing mm-hmm. community?
I think the direction that U.S. Rowing has taken, they've been able to put out some great dialogue and some great media encouraging that they want to increase and expand the opportunity for a lot of different people. I think they are understanding that the group is pretty homogenous mm-hmm. and that there are there's definitely room and welcome for people of color. All shades and all, you know, everybody. Mm-hmm. And just making that a bigger priority. I don't think it was anyone was against that, but now just making maybe like actually taking action is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just next steps forward is on the minds of a lot of people. And it was so great to see. I've never seen so much solidarity or so much public commitment to diversifying the sport, which is a step. But many more mm-hmm. steps to go.
Yeah, I think it's like been in their hearts. I think they've been wanting to, and now it can be like really on the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of the forefront, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, where you're from, how'd you get into rowing, all your backgrounds, racial, whatever you feel comfortable sharing. Tell our audience who you are.
Yeah, so I'm so excited. I'm like a proud Afro-Latina woman. I have a really complex background and I love it. I think it gives me pretty unique perspectives and to be a bridge between a lot of different types of people. So my mom and dad are originally from New York City. My mom is African-American. My dad is Puerto Rican. On his birth certificate, it says he's Caucasian, because there's a difference in Puerto Rican. You can have a white Puerto Rican or you can have a dark skin Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. So my dad is Caucasian. And, you know, these are identity things that, you know, we've kind of talked about over the years. And then the interesting part about like my lineage is that I didn't grow up in New York City per se. I was only there like over the summers. And so I got a lot of like a background. I had all my cousins there, so like I would be excited to be in New York City, but I spent my schooling time and my school years in Rapid City, South Dakota. It's the Black Hills. It's where Mount Rushmore is, and they have Ellsworth Air Force Base. So yes, my dad was stationed there. He retired there. I don't think he wanted to move us around a lot, so we stayed in that community, and it was interesting. It was interesting living there.
Wow, we haven't had someone from South Dakota on the podcast yet, so.
I know, we got to represent well.
Well, maybe there's a listener out there who's resonating and just really repping their South Dakota pride right now. They're just so happy to hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah, even with Minnesota in the news, we kind of identify a lot with Minnesota. They're our neighbors. We identify a lot with Nebraska. Like I kind of even go, it's almost like by football teams, because it's like we don't even have our own football team. So the Midwest and South Dakota, we take on a lot of identity as just a Midwest culture. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that was happening in Minnesota really felt close to home for me.
Thank you for elaborating on that. Thank you for clarifying that. Because I think a lot of folks, mm-hmm. especially since a lot of rowing clubs are on either coasts, not that mm-hmm. we forget about the Midwest, but I think we just don't hear enough mm-hmm. about the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And thank you for clarifying mm-hmm. that for us.
The Midwest has like a lot of strength. So however they're viewed, they have a lot of strength. I think I have a lot of strength. And I think that kind of goes with like the rowing mentality. They are really hardworking, their work ethic. So it's like Midwest should like get more immersed in rowing because it really goes well with the culture. And, you know, it can put us in different places. Like we go more to the East Coast and we go to more waterways. And it's like, it's very, rowing is very like, I don't want to say camp, but it's like outdoorsy. So that Midwestern part of me, I think really like, I love rowing.
Yeah, I could see now that you connect the two together, it seems like such a natural just marriage of the two. So mm-hmm. again, if any folks listening are from the Midwest, please shout out so that we can connect you and highlight your Midwest pride here.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Now, given that, so as a girl from the Midwest, mm-hmm. you're one of the athletes on Hydro, mm-hmm. and you are, I mean, like we were talking before, you are featured a lot and shouted out a lot by a lot of the people who are, from what I gather, taking up rowing for the very first time. And mm-hmm. as someone who is a person of color, teaching folks how to row and being a part of their experience, what is that like for you?
I think it's really important because sometimes I had a hard time learning how to row because of the just the words they would use, like things like hanging on the catch. I'm like, what? How do I hang on a catch? You know, so just I just didn't really like stop people to explain. Like I kind of had like certain talents or abilities where, you know, and the work ethic part. I just wanted to hammer on the oar. I wasn't really worried about technique. And it wasn't until I learned the single sculling that technique was really important. And so as I am teaching myself, I had to change the language from what they were saying, like translating. And I think that I can really help translate, like in Hydro, talking about different things in a way that more people can understand. Because like a lot of things too, in rowing, it's a lot of lineage. And I understand that because I have like a lineage in basketball. And it's like, I was really stand out in basketball solely because my dad would take me and he would be like, I saw you do this in the game. This is how you could do it better. And I didn't have that person in rowing. Like that was my dad. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that, like, you know, a dad or a very close person saying like, oh, you don't understand this. Like, let me make sure you understand. I just go home and be like, okay, day well done. You know, we raced, we did this, let's come back. And I never really took things seriously, especially at Michigan State. That's where I learned how to row. I rowed for college. I didn't take a lot of things seriously. A lot of things were done for us. Our oars were set for us. Our rigging was set for us. And then when I was like in the club zone, like learning the single, I didn't know how to set my oars. I didn't know how to do anything. So yeah, I had a lot of learning to do after I left college.
Oh wow. For mm-hmm. that's so interesting to think about, because I think a lot of folks are, I mean, no pun intended, but like they're in the same boat as you right now, because everyone's, you know, mm-hmm. the single is the one, if not the most common option for getting on the water right now. So I think having that mm-hmm. attitude to translate that technique and understanding of technique from a sweep into a single and also just mm-hmm. diversifying the sport during this mm-hmm. very specific time of rowing and singles. I think that's really mm-hmm. important and so valuable for our listeners to hear. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just so that they know, they can go and actually learn on like learn to row. I never did learn to row things. I kind of just like jumped in always too fast and I didn't know how to do anything. I just was like, let me just do it anyways. But you can go to places in Florida and they will teach you how to row. Like just Google it, like learn to row Florida. They have camps. And then also like in Vermont, you know, I know they do stuff up there. So it's like, mm-hmm. then you can be a novice, like a true novice. So yeah,
the opportunities are there, folks.
Things I wish I would have known. Yeah, exactly. They are that's cool. They are there.
Thank you for emphasizing that. I think we need as many opportunities to get outside now that it's summertime, now that we're still social distancing, but we want to exercise. We got to get our vitamin D. Got to get that vitamin D
for sure.
You mentioned you rowed at Michigan State. Is that where you learned how to row?
I did not. I learned how to row at Rollins College. That was in Winter Park, Florida. It was right next to Orlando, Florida. So again, I guess a little piece of my story would be growing up in the Midwest, I really wanted to be around other cultures. I had an opportunity to go to school in South Dakota and I really wanted to go somewhere else. So I went to Florida and I was thinking I was going to find more culture there. I went to like an 80 or 95%, you know, another white, a very white school, which is, I'm like, I just keep finding myself in these situations. So I know like I have a mission and a purpose, you know, to be around those different things. But then I got a chance. So I learned rowing there. Fell in love with the scenery, all that in Florida. And then I wanted to know if I was really good or if I was like kind of good, but not really or whatever, like good in like my own boathouse or like good, really. And then I was able to go to Michigan State and I, that's when I like wanted to like push myself and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't remember the point of the question, but that's how I ended up there.
that's a really interesting rowing journey and just trying to chase something instead finding yourself, it sounds, which is really, mm-hmm. really interesting.
Yeah. And I moved schools a lot because of the culture. I went to Michigan State and it was like they really were into sports and I was really into sports. That helps me make friends and it helps like people not to judge me because it's like sometimes I feel that just like the color of my skin, like people like question my intention or mm-hmm. question like if I have a good heart, and I feel I do have really good heart. And so like when I'm a teammate, I can actually show people like selflessness. And like, I think like through sports, you can really learn like a lot of human skills. So it's like the Olympics and all that stuff is really important to me because like I really think that sports help break down barriers. Mm-hmm. Like I know rowing's going to be fine, you know, with including other people because you have to really be a team, you know, for rowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like all the pieces are laid out there. They just have to connect.
And I think like people of color, we have to stay in the uncomfortable areas and just know like you're a modern day Jackie Robinson. You know, if you're the only one, you know, you can mm-hmm. stand firm. And, you know, sometimes people are not going to understand you, but just keep in your community outside of rowing and just keep going back. You know, mm-hmm. they're not horrible. You know, if you work hard, you can earn the respect, even if you're not good or good, whatever. Cause like sometimes you get dogged if you're good, cause then you're going to take someone's position. And then you can also be not respected by being slow. I've been fast and I've been slow. Mm-hmm. Either which way, sometimes it's uncomfortable and we just have to like get through it anyways.
Mm-hmm. I think you said something really profound that the Jackie Robinsons of rowing are here right now. And I wholeheartedly mm-hmm. agree. I think they are here. They are living. They are present. I think mm-hmm. they're here right mm-hmm. now. And we just have to connect the pieces together and make our community stronger. Did you ever feel like you didn't belong in the sport?
I feel like rowing is a really difficult sport. And mentally, you have to be really strong mentally. And if someone is even that might beat you physically, if they're even like uncertain if they can keep beating you physically or whatever, even if they have the fear that you might, you know, get better than them, they may start attacking you psychologically. And I think that pretty much everyone is open to those attacks. The best people, all the skin colors, And because it's the group pretty much does it to each other and they do it to other people. So everybody's going to get it. Everybody. It's the nature of that, of sport, yeah, in general, that alpha-ism and stuff. Like sometimes the alpha has whatever, however you call them, enemies, because they want to come, they want to come up, or, you know, you might want to align with certain people. That's why I think it's difficult sometimes when you feel a certain way, because it may not necessarily be because of color. It could be a lot of different reasons. So we just have to stay strong. That's just a human message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in what you were saying, it made me think of something, a quote that someone said in an interview a while back. And I think they said, sometimes it's hard to feel the difference between being pushed hard and being targeted. What are your thoughts on that?
100%. Athletes, we have to believe things that are difficult to believe. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe of overcoming obstacles. Mm-hmm. I think that being like a woman of color helped me be a better athlete. But also, you know, I will say I did have one thing happen that I was like a little bit irritated with. One time I was going out in the single and I set my oar up wrong. I think you can put your oar lock in backwards. If people understand that, you do. If you don't, you know, it's just wrong. Mm-hmm. And so you're at the end of the day, you're already about to fall in the water because you have such less balance. And then this mm-hmm. is like even worse. So I was like, I couldn't hardly row. And I looked so stupid. Like I looked terrible. And it's like, you can't get out of that situation. Like you got to row all the way back to the dock, whatever. So I think I was on the water struggling for maybe 30 minutes. Everybody saw me struggling and I got back onto the dock and someone I think had to help me on the dock because I was about to slip. And so finally they helped me and they pulled me back up there. And the guy who pulled me on, he looked right at my oar like he said, this is on backwards. And like pretty much everyone kind of started laughing. There was like an 8 boat that was like docking like about the same time as me. So like they're all kind of laughing. And one of the persons in the boat says, oh, I saw her do that. And then the other people around were like, and you didn't say anything? You didn't tell her? You didn't whatever? And, you know, he didn't go out of his way to extend that, you know, for whatever reason. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do I need to spend my time, you know, saying it was because I was Black. It was because I was new. It was because you didn't know me. It was because I don't know. And that's not my business. And that's not how, you know, I'm going to live my life. Have I felt that way? Sure. Have I felt like I've deserved it? Definitely. We all understand that that's a real thing. I think one thing I do want to put in is the in Black Lives Matter, there's always a counter argument of all lives matter. And I want to speak about that because number one, sometimes people just say that just to get a rise. I grew up with in the Midwest. I grew up with people who liked to say things like all lives matter. And also, I think I have a good perspective because I grew up with them since kindergarten. I know their families and what's going on outside of just the social media. You know, I live with them. I don't think that they had racist intentions with me growing up because you don't grow up and you don't grow up hating people. It's something that happens like way later down the line where it really turns very hateful. And I think that anything that we're feeling as people of color, we have to remember that if someone, anyone, is doing something to you, there's a good chance that they're doing that to inside their family, to their siblings, to their wives, to their husbands, to each other. One thing I want to speak on that was really profound to me, because and I grew up like them too, and I have to put, you know, sometimes I feel like a Black police officer, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have the uniform. And I learned that when I went to Florida, because my rhetoric around LGBT community was not up to a national standard. It was up to an acceptable standard in the Midwest, but that wasn't up to the national standard. So I said things that were insensitive, and it wasn't until someone stopped me and actually showed me like, that's really not okay, that I had to make the change, and I couldn't just say, well, I don't feel that in my heart. You know, I had to do some soul searching, but, you know, also understand that there's a lot of hurt within these communities that are hurting other people. And that's where the All Lives Matter comes. And there might be a cry that at home things aren't going well at whatever, and they're very proud and they don't really want to talk about it. That's how I came out. I didn't really want to ever talk about anything that happened to me. I always wanted to be strong. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot of hurt in a lot of different places. So if someone says All Lives Matter, just realize they might be really saying that out of a hurting place. Not to say that that's okay, but just to, our compassion is going to kill all this like negativity.
Oh my gosh, you speak with so much strength and positivity. I mean, I've never been on a hydro. Sorry, hydro. I've never been on a hydro. But I'm so sorry. I mean, but it's so obvious to me why people enjoy. I mean, just, you're not even rowing right now, and I'm inspired by just hearing you speak. And on the hydro, you're talking and rowing. So no wonder people love you there. It's so obvious. You speak with so much strength, so much conviction, so much positivity. And as someone who's part of the queer community, your vulnerability means so much. To hear someone speak with that much vulnerability means so much to me. And while I don't speak for all queer people, I mean, just speaking from my own experience, tearing up just a little bit, but I'm, the lighting is awful in here, so you can't see, but it just speaks to the positivity and just building bridges, building bridges and leading with compassion, which moving forward, I mean, eventually that's the direction we need to go in order to move our sport in the right direction. So thank you so much for speaking with that compassion, that positivity and that strength, because it's showing, it's resonant, it's bleeding through the speakers here. It's so
thank you. I think I really wanted to counter that and say, like, this has been an everyday experience. Like, this is something that I think about every second of every day, because I encounter different people. And also, I'm kind of a chameleon. Like, if you've ever seen my hair, it could be a lot of different ways. And also with my face and my skin complexion, there's days where I look really African American, and I experience the world in an African American way. And there is a time when my hair changes to bone straight. I bought it, you know, it's called Indy Britney. I bought it, it's a weave. But my hair is bone straight, and then I am very Latin and I get treated completely different. And also if it's wintertime and my complexion turns, my complexion gets really light in the wintertime. If that plus the bone straight, like, I can see the differences in people just in every day. So I want to speak in a way that is fair to all the sides that I've been around, and it's, I don't know, I see wrong on both sides, and I want to care for just people. I don't really want to be on one side or another. I hated actually having to choose a side during this last protest, but I really had to choose a side. But I'm human, so yeah, that's how I feel.
I mean, if we're not, I guess that would explain a lot of things, actually. That would really explain
We had UFOs in 2020. It hardly made the headline news. We don't know.
Oh my gosh. It's only June. Oh, geez. All right. So for younger Black and Latina women of color who are chameleon just like you and experience the exact same things that you do and are either just starting out in rowing or have been in rowing for a while, what advice would you give to them?
I would say that fear is always going to be your biggest obstacle. So there's going to be different fears of being around people that you're not used to, being in uncomfortable situations, even being treated poorly. The fear of that, don't let that take away your opportunities, because that's how the system is set up. And if you just do it anyways and you do things when you're fearful, that messes up systems that are against you. The second thing I would tell them is that your competition is between you and you. And so focus on that. Focus on being like the best person, like the healthiest health is really important. Like our food is so important, especially as people of color. Like I think I became a personal trainer, and I was like really obsessed like with food, because I just saw like, I don't think we're supposed to be eating all these Pop-Tarts, like just as a kindergartner and a fifth grader, I'm like Oreos, Pop-Tarts. I just knew it wasn't right. So yeah, just your competition is yourself, and don't let that fear get to you, and you're gonna go to great places.
That's powerful. And I think because there's a lot of fear right now, I think that message could not have better timing. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners during this time?
Man, I'm proud of your podcast, and I'm proud that, you know, that you're growing at an exponential rate. I think that it shows like how progressive like we're getting, and how beyond just legislation, the decisions that we make every single day is really what pushes us forward, that we do have power, we do have a voice. And I want to thank you for overcoming your fears of whatever to be here, and I don't know, to be an amplifier. So yeah, give you your props, and I don't have anything else to say at all. that never happens.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I've definitely, I don't know if anyone would believe this, but I was voted most shy in grade school. So,
oh my gosh, oh, that's so cool. Look yeah, at you.
I know, I'm growing up. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a result of building relationships. I mean, having mm-hmm. Patricia as a co-host yeah. has been the only decision that was worth making for all of this to happen. So I think that Yay. Just leading with vulnerability, just like you said mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. leading with compassion, and not, I think you said, not using fear as your only motivator or something along those lines.
Yeah, get past that fear.
Mm-hmm. And if folks want to reach out to you, if they really, really connected with you on this episode, how can they get in touch with you or follow you on your journey?
Mm-hmm. I'm best with Instagram at YoCoachSosa. So that's YoCoach. Sosa is Sosa. That's my God-given last name.
It's hard to mess that up. It's hard to miss that.
YoCoachSosa. I know. Yeah. That's stuck with me.
Well, I'm sure folks will be reaching out to you after this episode, and we'll wish you mm-hmm. the best of luck. We'll keep seeing you on the hydro.
Oh, you got it. You will for sure.
Thank you so much for listening to Rowing in Color.
Please remember to follow or hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
And if you're on Instagram, please follow us at Rowing in Color.
We really appreciate it.
Just as much as we appreciate you.
So this is Denise.
And Patricia signing off.
Stay safe, everyone.